Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and we'll note especially verses 36 through 39. These verses we'll read responsively, and may we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And let's read together the next verse. And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And may we pray. Father, it's with delight that we gather here and anticipation. Thank you for our church, for what we have experienced here, for what we feel here now, for what all this means to us. Now we pray that we might certainly be attentive. Thou hast given a message to our preacher, and we must hear it. And help us to sense the urgency of the hour in Jesus.
Tonight, on purpose, we've been moving right along in the service, and my message will not be as lengthy as usual tonight because we have a matter of important business to care for as a congregation before we leave, something that will affect the future of our church. And so I'll do not be shocked beyond measure when I quit preaching about 9:15. And you, Brother Bordwist says we won't be. And I don't have to take all of this insult. If I could find a job, I'd take it. But somebody's going to hire me tonight after the service is over. But I am going to be even briefer than usual. And this will not be, the Bible says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is my reward in heaven. Blessed are you when men should revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I did want to warn you because one night we dismissed the service about 8:20, and our folks didn't know what to do. I was sick that night, had a high fever, I guess 99.5, but I had a high fever, and I was sort of weak. And when we got out of the service by 8:20, you never saw such a startle. And the truth is, most of the people drove to McDonald's and just sat there till 9:30, and they went in and ordered. And so I want to speak tonight on the subject, the front of the ship or the back of the ship. It doesn't matter. Either one will do. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Bless this great truth as it's presented from this pulpit by this little piece of clay. Help me to be a blessing and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I am not going to be very Sunday nightish, whatever that means. I probably am going to be a little bit Sunday morningish. Now, I don't believe in a difference between Sunday morning service and Sunday night service. I don't believe in it. But here, because of our bus ministry and our B, C, and D Sunday schools, we do not have all of our workers here on a Sunday morning. So, on Sunday night, if I have anything I want to fix, church-wide, or something I think all the church needs in a corrective measure, I save it till Sunday night. But however, this is the kind of sermon that you'd normally expect to hear on a Sunday morning. No other gym has so beautiful a setting as does that little gem that is called the Sea of Galilee. Lake Tiberias, if you please, or Lake Gennesaret, if you please. What do you call it? Tiberias, Galilee, or Gennesaret? In my way of thinking, it's the most beautiful little cup of water in the entire world. Nestled with Mount Hermon and its glistening snow cap on one side, as the waters arrive to the Sea of Galilee, coming down from the northern hills and Mount Hermon, emptying into the sea and then emptying out of the sea into the Jordan River, which winds its way in a serpentine manner on down to the Dead Sea, where it empties itself in the Dead Sea. I guess the most beautiful body of water I've ever seen is the Sea of Galilee at the nighttime. So many words would come to my mind as I think about it. Breathtaking, peaceful, tranquil, beautiful, reflective. I can see it now with the lights of the city of Tiberias reflecting on the waters. As you look toward the mountains on one side, and as you go around that little Sea of Galilee, not a sea at all, just a lake, as I said the other night, 12 miles long maybe 6 miles wide, as I preached about it just recently. But I see the nighttime, and I see at the nighttime the little sea sparkling like a bundle of diamonds. I see Roman gentlemen in pleasure boats sailing the lake. Fishermen are coming to drop their nets. The night is quiet. Not a ripple wrinkles the face of old Galilee. And in this setting, a little flotilla pushes out from the western shore. This flotilla is not a squadron with deadly armament, nor is it a clipper with valuable merchandise, nor is it a piratic vessel or vessels made to destroy. But a flotilla hearing or bearing God's messengers of love. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, and the others. In a boat, one of the boats is Jesus. By the way, whatever you do, you get him in your boat. You get him in your boat. If you have a boat of business, you get him in your boat. If you have a boat of a home, you get him in your boat. If you have a boat school, you get him in your boat. Jesus is in the boat. Now, he becomes weary. He folds probably somebody's coat and makes of that coat a pillow, and finds a place in the back of the boat where he can nestle and where he can lay his weary head. I'm glad that Jesus was a man. I'm glad that he, the great second mentioned person of the Godhead, always has been the God-man. Jesus did not become the God-man in Bethlehem, nor did he cease being the God-man at the resurrection of his body. Jesus always was the God-man. He still is the God-man. Timothy says in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. We are made in the image of God, and that means that Jesus has always been his personality, a man-like creature. However, I'm glad that he gets weary. I'm glad that he could hunger. I'm glad he could get lonely. I'm glad he was a man. So he's in the back of the boat. Sleep overtakes him and finally arrests him. And then suddenly, while he's sleeping in the back of the boat, a storm arises. The boat pauses. Oceanic foam fills the air. The sails of that little boat begin to crack like pistols. The cargo falls seaward. The disciples rush to the back of the boat. Jesus is asleep. May I say this tonight? It may appear to you that Jesus is asleep, but he's not. It may appear to you that he's not concerned about the storm in which you're traveling tonight, but he is. It may be he's waiting a while to test you. He may want to see if you'll come to him. He may want to see if you'll come again and again to him. He may wait a while. Remember how Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus appeared not to be concerned? And here he is now, asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples come rushing back to back. And can you see the foamy waves as they lap upon that little ship on the Sea of Galilee? And can you see the stormy night as the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls and the tempest shakes that little boat? Can you see the hurricanic gales as they come and as they place fear in the heart of this little crowd of people or group of people that are on the boats on the Sea of Galilee? And so the boat is rocking and reeling. The cargo has fallen off the side, perhaps. And Jesus is sound asleep in the back of the boat. And so come the disciples. They come back in the back of the boat. And they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Oh, could you ask the Master that? "Carest thou not that we perish? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Oh, yes, he cares if you perish. And tonight, if you go to hell, you'll choose to go to hell, because God wants you to go to heaven. If you live your life without God and his Son, Jesus Christ, you'll choose to do so. Nobody cares like you can. Oh, you say, "Preacher, nobody cares for me." Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the day grows weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. Oh, my Savior cares. But they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus lifts himself off his homemade pillow. Gently, those precious feet that soon will feel the nails of Calvary, and those precious feet that have walked the sandy hills of Judea and the shores of Galilee, those feet that Mary cradled, they walk toward the front of the boat. Jesus stands there for the boat. He looks upward. He says, "Peace." He looks downward and he says, "Be still." "The winds and the waves, they obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still." Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, it doesn't matter what it is. Jesus said, "Peace." Looks up, down, "Be still." And the waves fall flat on their faces. The foam melts. The stars relight their torches. And the tempest falls dead at the feet of Jesus. Jesus stands with his feet or with his foot on the neck of the storm. And suddenly, the waves are calm, the tempest is still, and the storm is stopped. And they said, "What manner of man is this, that the winds and waves obey his voice?" That isn't all that obeys his voice. Everything obeys his voice except man.
Birds obey his command to fly. Fish obey his command to swim. Flowers obey his command to bloom. Trees obey his command to blossom. The sun obeys his command to rise and to set. The moon obeys his command to be at the right part in the sky. The stars obey his command to fill their places. And roosters obey his man to crow when God's people are about to deny him. And fish obey his command to have coins in their mouth and swim over to him so he can get some tax money. I'm saying everything obeys his command except man. That's one of the saddest things I know in truths I know. And that is that of all, as I said this morning, of all the objects of God's love, of all of God's creation, God loves man more than he loves every other creation put together. There's so much here. I could preach a sermon tonight on have Christ in the boat. I could preach a sermon tonight on he seems to care. When he seems not to care, he yet cares. I've often told this on a Sunday morning sermon. It wasn't unusual when I was a boy for my mother and I to go down to downtown Dallas. We had no shopping centers in those days. We'd go downtown Dallas to shop, and we'd always go to Five and Dime. We never went to a department store. We went to either McCrory's, 5- and 10-cent store. And no, young people, that's enough of that. You listen while I'm preaching. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here so you can make love or talk. I'm here for you to hear me, and I am for you to do it. We go down to Grand and Silver's department, 5 and Dime store, and we'd walk in, and I oftentimes would get interested in the candy department. There's nothing to me, nothing in the world that smells any better, looks any better than the candy department at a 5 and Dime store. I mean, boy, the thought of it makes me want to dismiss the service and go on and get it. Love it. I love it. I mean chocolate-covered almonds. If you check the Hebrew, you'll find that's what fell from heaven every morning when the Jews were marching from the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan. Nothing like chocolate-covered almonds. A while ago, I was coming out of the office, and they put a coat on me, usually the men do, that walk down the alley with me. And they gave me a coat and began to laugh. I pulled that coat out, and it came way out to here. It was Larry Weller's coat, size 60. And they began to say something about Larry. That's Larry's coat. And some young ladies come over to the office a while ago, and they'd, I guess must have been 25 young ladies, and they brought me some Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Each one brought one, and they sang to me. And I got 25 Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and one of the fellows said, if you eat all those, you're going to need this coat. And I said, I bet you Larry's happier than anybody in this church is. And eat all that candy and stuff, whatever makes you that way. But I'd go down to Grand Silver's for the candy department. I'd get looking. And I'd always watch them as they shoveled it out, hoping they'd drop one piece on the floor. They had a little place there where they sold nickel malted milks. That's been a long time ago. Nickel malted milks. I won't tell you when it was, but we always prayed for President Lincoln every night before we went to bed. And so I'd watch those people drink those nickel malted nickel. I never could afford one. I never had one of my own because we were poor. Isn't that sad? And let it break your heart. But I'd go over hoping that somebody wouldn't drink all of theirs. I'd sneak away from my mother. I'd go over and find about that much in the bottom, and while nobody's looking, I'd drink the rest of it. And so then all of a sudden I'd realize Mama was not near me. I'd look, try to find Mama. That's a big 5 and Dime store, hundreds of folks in there at a time. And I'd say, Mommy! Well, there were probably 1,000 mommies in there all at one time. And I'd look, and my mother would hide behind a pillar there or post in the store. She was trying to teach me a lesson. Mommy, I want my mommy! I want my mommy! And my mama to hide, mean little rascal. Boy, I think about it, I'm going to quit praying for her while she's sick. But then about the time I'd get frantic, I'd say, I want my mommy. I want my mommy. Mommy, I want my mommy. I want my mommy. And then mother would come out behind a post. And I said, Oh, Mommy. And she said, son, don't you do that again. I won't. I hung on to her skirt till I pulled it off of her, I guarantee you, because I wanted to be. And the Lord God does that sometimes to us. Sometimes we say, I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. I want to do my own will. And the Lord's okay. Do it by yourself. All of a sudden, we realize we've lost His presence and lost His blessing. And Jesus, where are you? Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. But He's got one eye open. He knew about that storm. And Jesus was going to steal that storm if they asked Him to. But He wanted to make them worry about it for a while. And so He was asleep in the back of the boat. I could preach on it tonight. Yet something particular arrests my attention for our main thought tonight. The first thing I want you to notice is Jesus was in the back of the boat. He was tired, weary, sleepy. Look at His countenance. I wonder what He's dreaming about. Have an idea what He's dreaming at the back of the boat. He sees a cross. Have an idea what He's back at the boat dreaming. He sees a judgment hall. Have an idea that He sees a cat of nine tails. And have an idea that He sees Calvary. And He's in the back of the boat dreaming. I want you to notice, look at Him. He's a man. He's bone of my bone. He's flesh of my flesh. He can get tired, weary, lonely, sleepy. Then look again. That's at the back of the boat. Now, look at the front of the boat. Watch Him as He walks to the front of the boat. And see Him as He puts His hands on eternity. And as He lifts His eyes toward the storm and says, shh, hush. The wind bows at His feet. And the storms refuse to blow. And the hurricane is paralyzed. And the lightning is afraid to show itself, and the thunder will not speak. Why? This is the same Jesus at the back of the boat. Now, it may be tonight that you need Him at the back of the boat. Because it may be that you're lonely. And you need someone to comfort you that's lonely too. It may be that you're sad, and you need the saddened Jesus to comfort you. It may be you need to hear somebody say, I was there, I know how you feel, I was man, I wearied, I hungered, I thirsted, I understand, I was lonely, I had no place to lay my head, I had burdens. It may be you need that. Or it may be tonight you're facing a battle and the storms of life are raging, and it just may be you need to look in the front of the boat and see the God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords and Master of waves and Commander of storms and the Stiller of winds. It may be you need Him tonight. Whichever one you need, He's in the boat. Tempest folds its wings in His presence. At the front of the boat, our heavenly admiral has the storm kneeling at His feet. I want to say this tonight. This is sort of a little testimony message. I need both the front of the boat and the back of the boat. I need a Savior who is weary, who can say to me, I know how you feel. I need a Savior who was hungry, who can say to me in my hunger, I know how you feel. I need a Savior who was lonely, who can say to me when I'm lonely, I know how you feel. I need Him. But blessed be God, I also need that commanding admiral at the front of the boat to fight my battles and still my storms and calm my waves and stop my tempest and cease my hurricane. I need Him beside me to still the wave and fight my battles. And I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful that our great God is a King of kings. And I'm glad our great God is a mighty God and the everlasting Father. But I'm also glad He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I love that little scripture I used this morning in my sermon. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. May I sort of rerun a little bit and tell you something about that verse. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Let me tell you what that means. God is pictured here as a great actor, and the world is His platform. And the time the curtain draws and open, and out comes the actor. The actor's God. And he tries to do his act performance on the platform, on the world. But the world isn't big enough for the performance of this great actor. And so they tear down the stage and build a platform that is in the heavens. I mean, one that stretches from Mars to Jupiter, and one that intersects the Milky Way, and one that overlaps the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. And our God walks out, and the curtain is full of the heavenly stage, and our God walks out, but isn't big enough for him. And the Bible says, have to set his glory above the heavens. Earth is not big enough for his performance, and the heavens are not big enough for his performance. So his platform and his performance is above the earth. And that's how mighty, and that's how powerful, and that's how great is our omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of gods, King of kings, and Lord of lords. Yet, in the next verse, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, as thou art in strength to cause thine enemies. I'm glad tonight our God is the all-powerful God at the front of the boat. But I'm also glad he's our tender, understanding God asleep at the back of the boat. I'm glad today that God made the sun rise this morning. And I'm glad that God, with his mighty arms, is holding the worlds in place tonight. But I'm also glad that he's at the bedside of my dear mother who's suffering in such pain tonight. I'm glad he's there. I don't just need the omnipotent God. I need a personal Savior. I love that term, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I love that. I love it. Yes! Yes! He's the mighty God! You know, I used to travel a great deal. I still do, but the children were growing up. They were little. And I might be at the table. And maybe little Cindy, as a little girl, be at the table. And I'd just get back from preaching at a big convention or something. And somebody would have stood up and said, Dr. Jack Hiles, pastor of the great First Baptist Church of Hammond, is here. And Dr. Hiles is the main speaker. And I may spend an hour after the service signing Bibles. I get on a jet plane and fly across the skies to some other convention and rush out, rush back to the church here and preach to a great crowd on Sunday. But the four little kids, Daddy, cut my meat. I'm just Daddy. And I'm glad that my God is the great omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm glad for that. But I'm glad he hears the little baby that cries in the nursery tonight. He says, how, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy performance platform above the heavens. I'm glad about that. But the next verse says, shh. Now the mouths of babes and sucklings. As thou ordained strength, because thine enemies. I'll leave this service on a Sunday night to go to my office after having preached to thousands of people and seen sometimes hundreds of folks saved and scores of folks baptized. And I'll walk back and I'll walk over the bus workers, bus drivers meeting, and they'll applaud when I walk in. And somebody said, Dr. Hiles this and Dr. Hiles that. Open the door on Sunday night. Guess who the first person through the door is every Sunday night when I get back to the office? Our little granddaughter, Jacqueline. She doesn't say, hello, Dr. Hiles, pastor of the largest church in America. She says, Papa, I want to see the birdies. The birdies are the big fish I got in my office. I want to see the birdies. And Dr. Jack Hiles will pick his little granddaughter up in his arms. We walked to have the big sailfish I think it weighed 250 pounds. It only weighed 75 when I caught it, but it's been growing. I feed it well. And I took a picture of it. It weighed 15 pounds, a picture. And it hurts me when you doubt me like that. I want to see the birdies. Maybe she'll see a piece of candy there. Somebody give me. And she'll say, Papa, can I have the candy? And I'll say, sure. She said, tell Daddy he can't eat it. And I'll say, Daddy, You can't eat that candy. Tell him it's not for him. That's not for you. Tell him you better not touch it. You better not touch it. Tell him it's for me. That's for Jacqueline.
Yeah, I'm Papaw. Did you know the great God of gods who made the universe, the God who poured the lakes like pitchers would pour mirrors on the ground so men who looking down or look up can look up while looking down? Did you know the God that made the clouds like carpet for those who walk in the sky? Did you know that great God, the God who laid the foundation for the universe? Did you know he says we can call him Abba Father? Abba Father. Abba. Abba. I went to see Mother today. Bless her heart. And she's suffering so much and she's in such pain. But I said, Mama. And she said, that sounds like Dr. Jack Hiles. And I said, you're talking to him. I said, how do you feel? And she said, I don't feel very good. And I said, Mama, this is your son. this is your boy. She said, did you have anybody saved this morning? I said, come on, Mama. Did we have anybody saved this morning? And she said, son, have you been eating okay lately? I like that. I'm glad that somebody comes to me and says, son, I'm glad there's somebody I can call Mama. I'm glad there's somebody can call me Daddy. I'm glad about that. And I'm so glad that that same great God who stands like the Admiral of the Navy at the front of that little ship tossed and torn by the seas and speaks and says, peace! And the sky bows before him and the winds refuse to blow and looks at the ocean and says, be still! Sit still! And just like a child would sit still when Daddy says, be still, the ocean folds its arms at his feet and the sky bows before him and winds refuse to blow. I'm so glad that's the same one. I can call my heavenly Papa. At the front of the ship, if you need power, at the back of the ship, you need comfort, doesn't matter. When I get discouraged, I go to the back of the boat. When I'm afraid, I run to the front of the boat. When I'm tired, I go to the back of the boat. I love to hear Jesus say, son, I was tired too, and I know you're tired and weary. I go to the storm comes, the battles come, I'm glad. And I'm glad he'll go to whichever end of the boat I want him to go to. I'll say, Jesus, need you up here at the front now. Need you to calm some storms. Carest thou not that I perish? But I may have to say when I say, Jesus, look, could you let the angels be in charge of keeping those stars in place for a few minutes, and would you come back here at the back of the boat? I need somebody to care. I need somebody to tell me that you understand. I need somebody to say I was there. Understand it? Did you ever stop and think that Jesus was acquainted with our griefs so he could understand our griefs? That's why he's at the right hand of the Father tonight. Sometimes the Father looks and says, you know, says Peter, St. Peter, look how old Hiles is treating those deacons down there. And St. Peter said, yeah, he reminds me a lot of me when I was down there. And the Father says, think I'll just kill him. Jesus says, don't kill him, Father. Don't kill him. Why shouldn't I kill him? Well, Father, you never had been down there. You never had a deacon. But I was down there. I know how they are. Father, have mercy. I understand completely. I'd treat them like that too. I was there. I'm glad. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. If tonight you're lonely and tired and weary and the burdens are heavy, you rush to the back of the boat and you'll find a Savior acquainted with your grief back in the back of the boat. But if tonight you're facing a battle and you can't see how in the world you can make it through, you just call him up in the front of the boat and you'll see the mighty God at the front of the boat. When I'm at the bedside, I go to the back of the boat. When I'm in the bed sick, I go to the front of the boat. When I drive home late at night, as I did last night, getting off at close to 1 o'clock in the morning after having to work from early yesterday morning, I go to the back of the boat. When I get a death threat in the mail, I go to the front of the boat. When I go to bed in the motel at night, many nights, I go to the back of the boat. When I stand up to preach, I go to the front of the boat. When I left Texas to come here 25 years ago this summer, I went to the back of the boat. When I faced the battles after I got here, I went to the front of the boat. When I go see my mother, I go to the back of the boat. When I face decisions that are vital, I go to the front of the boat. When I felt my daddy's face cold in death, I went to the back of the boat. And when I needed God to bless me in my church and the battles I had to face, I went to the front of the boat. When the church here had its fire years ago and two of our four buildings were destroyed by fire, I went to the back of the boat. And when we had to rebuild and needed all the help to raise the money and draw the plans and deal the building, I went to the front of the boat. And I'm so glad tonight I got a back of the boat Savior and a front of the boat Savior. I got one in the back of the boat understands me. I've got one in the back of the boat that's been here. He suffered whatever I suffer. He's felt whatever pain I feel. He's faced whatever problem I face. He's solved every problem I have. He knows the answer to every question. He's faced every question. He's borne every burden. I don't care what your burden is tonight. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, in all points tempted and tested like as we are. And wherever you are tonight, you go back in the back of the boat and say, Savior, I'm having a problem. He'll say, I did too. I understand. You know, when I was a paratrooper, if they'd taken us up one at a time, brethren, I wouldn't have jumped. No way. They'd taken up and, okay, I'll jump. Ready? Jump. I'd say I prayed about it and the Holy Spirit not directing me. You know why I jumped? Because they put 18 of us in a plane at the same time and 9 of us on one side, 9 to the face in each other. And all of us were going to jump. If one of us had said, I won't jump, none of us would have jumped. But others were jumping, and I jumped. That's why they put people with the same disease oftentimes in the same ward in a hospital. Because somebody across the hall's got what you've got. Mother had surgery. Jack Patterson had surgery. Major surgery. He has ingrown toenail taken off. It's major surgery. He's 6'8". But he's having surgery. Mrs. Depper was having surgery. And Mama was having surgery. We talked about it like it's kickoff time for a ball game. When's yours? I'm going in 9:00. What time are you going in? I'm going in at 7:00. Well, I'd say, we'll see you when it's over. Now, at home, doesn't sound quite like that. In the back of the boat tonight, Jesus sleeps. He invites you to come if your burdens are heavy. He invites you to come if you're a little widow having to rear the children by yourself. He invites you to come back in the back of the boat if you're lonely, or he was lonely. He invites you to come back in the back of the boat if you're sorrowful, for he was a man of sorrows. He invites you to come back in the back of the boat if you've been betrayed by man, for he was betrayed by man. He invites you to come back in the back of the boat if your eyes are moistened with tears, for he wept. He invites you to come back in the back of the boat if you have no place to lay your head, for he had no place to lay his head. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's back in the back of the boat. He wants to come. He wants you to come to him. But if the surgeon's knife is about to enter your body and you're facing a tough storm of life, he says, let's go to the front of the boat for a while. I got something I want to show you. He stands up there and says, watch this. Storm? Hell. Come on. Sit down. Lightning? Unplug that thing. Winds? Get back there. Winds. One puff of wind. So I still want to blow. He just stops it. Do you know he's your God? He's your God. We have a staff member here. one time bawled her out. I bawled them all out. I bawled this one out. Let her have it. Slapped the fire out of her. I mean, I bawled her out. And she looked at me and she said, Brother Hiles, I never saw you like that before. And I said, aren't you glad that the fury that you see unleashed on you right now is also possessed by your friend, and that I'm your friend, and the same fury that in the same strength that you see poured in your direction, aren't you glad that same fury is for your protection in case anybody attacks you? I got news for you. If you're lonely tonight, go to the back of the boat and you'll find somebody to understand. And if you're facing a battle tonight, go to the front of the boat and you'll find somebody can take care of your battle. You go to the back of the boat and you'll hear peace be still. You go to the front of the boat and you'll hear, my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You go to the back of the boat and hear, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You go to the front of the boat and you'll hear, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You go to the back of the boat and you'll hear, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You go to the front of the boat and you'll find at the front of the boat, you'll hear, my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You go to the back of the boat and you'll hear, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you, but my peace give I unto you. You go to the front of the boat, you'll find the conquering Savior who said we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You'll find Him there, whatever your need is. Talking to lonely widows, weary men, having a tough time making ends meet. I'm talking to young people tonight. I'm talking to a young lady tonight who has cancer in her body. I'm talking to a young man tonight, just a young lad who has Hodgkin's disease. I'm talking to a mother tonight. I mean in this room. I'm talking to a mother tonight who faces a surgeon's knife Tuesday. I'm talking to a mother tonight who doesn't know how long she'll live because cancer's eating away in her body. I'm talking tonight to people whose loved ones are near death. I'm talking to folks tonight who don't know how to face tomorrow. I'm talking to unemployed men tonight that don't know how in the world you're going to make ends meet. And you can't pay your bills and you can't find a job. I'm talking to folks tonight whose loved ones have just passed away. I'm talking to folks tonight who have a little bronze shoe up on the mantle. I'm talking to folks tonight who have an empty place at the table and in the bed. I'm talking to folks, I don't care who you are or what your problem is. Listen, every problem of life, you'll find its answer either at the front of the boat or the back of the boat. In Jesus. If you're hungry, He's the bread of life. If you're thirsty, He's the living water. If you're lost, He's the way. If you're ill, He's the great physician. If you're bound, He's the deliverer. If you're a hostage, He's the ransom. If you're sad, He's the consolation. If you're outside, He's the door. If you're weak, He's the mighty God. If you're friendless, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you're in doubt, He's the counselor. If you're in turmoil, He's the Prince of Peace. If you're convicted, He's your advocate. If you're an orphan, He's your everlasting Father. He's been where you are. He can bear your burdens and solve your problems and win your battles and victories. You just lean real heavy on Him. He's been where you are. You know where God prepared me to pastor this church? In a Baptist college for 4 years? I think not. In 2 torturous, miserable, wretched, horrible, rotten years of Greek? I think not. In theology class? I think not. In seminary? I think not. Hermeneutics? I think not. Apologetics? No, I don't think so. Petrian theology? Mm-mm. No. No way. Well, how did God prepare you, Brother Hiles? He prepared me in a little shack in the ghetto because the Lord said one of these days I need a preacher to go up in the great Chicago area and I need little bus kids to walk up to him and feel like he's been where they are. You know where God prepared me to pastor this great church? In a college? No. I think not. Seminary? Nope. Though I think both are important, perhaps. Where'd God prepare me? When Daddy walked out of the house one Monday morning, never to come again, God said, now, son, I'm going to put you one of these days up in the great Chicago area, and you're going to pastor hundreds and hundreds of young people who don't know where their daddies are. You know why God put me, prepared me? 2.5 years of being a paratrooper. So I could look at you sailor boys back there and say, I've been in the barracks. I've been in the PX. I've faced the temptations. I understand it. And where God prepared me, going to college and having to pastor a full-time church, work 40 hours a week, take a full load in college, work day and night, $19 a week, tough time making ends meet, preaching in suits I got from the college, clothing, hand-me-down clothing room, first sermon I ever preached in the church, held my hands behind me like they are now to cover up the patch in the seat of the breeches of a hand-me-down suit. That's where it was. There are very few people in this room tonight that have a pain I haven't felt. Are you saying goodbye to a loved one? I felt the cold face of a loved one in death. Have you said goodbye to a loved one who died outside Christ? I felt the same awful, awful feeling in hell for these years. Are you having to rear your children by yourself? My mother did. Are you a little child without a daddy to come to Sunday school? I was one. You wonder where you're going to eat tomorrow's meal? I've been there. Can't pay your heating bill? I've been there. I've been there. But just in case I haven't been where you are, Jesus has. He's in the back of the boat for you who are lonely. He's in the front of the boat for you who are in battles. He's in the back of the boat for you who are sad. He's in the front of the boat for you that can't see your way through tomorrow. He's in the back of the boat for you who are melancholy. He's in the front of the boat for you that face the storm. He's in the back of the boat for you who have problems. He's in the front of the boat for you that have battles. He's in the back of the boat for you who are in calm seas but lonely seas. He's in the front of the boat for you in the storms of life tonight. Doesn't matter. Just go to the front, go to the back. Or you call in whichever end of the boat you want him. He'll come there so he can feel their burden and feel their pain and feel their heartache. That may be tonight that I've never sat where you sit and I can't feel your pain or heartache. But I'll bind you one thing. He who saw the foxes scurry to their holes and the birds fly to their nests and had no place to lay his head. He who was the bread of life and yet hungered at noontime. And he who was the rest and was weary at Sychar's well. And he who was the living water.